Good morning again, folks. It's good to see you. We welcome you to our Disciples Hour time now, our study in the book of Acts. And I trust that you've already listened to the Sunday school time and enjoyed that and listened to the morning message. Now it's time for us to have our Disciple Hour service. So let's start with a word of prayer once again. Father, thank you so much for this time that we can be together. We thank you for the book of Acts. We thank you for the early history that is recorded of the church. We thank you what we've learned so far. And Father, I just pray that you would help us now, once again, as we turn our hearts and our attention to this wonderful book, that, Lord, you would fill our minds, clear our minds, and you would fill our minds with your Spirit, that we can find these truths in our own lives and that we can live them. And we'll be sure to thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Also remember, folks, that with these links to the messages in the email, I also sent out this week's Gospel Encounters, which are accounts to encourage us in these days of our folks from the church sharing the gospel. I know that it's very challenging in these days to meet with people and interact with people, but I would encourage you as best you can by phone, by text, by emails, by Facebook. When you do go out and you go shopping, be sure to have a pocket full of tracts and hand them out and talk to people, because people, this virus has caused people to think more about what's going on. And I've heard a lot of people saying, what is God doing? Okay? And we have the answer to that. So I'd encourage you, please read those gospel encounters. They are meant to encourage us. As a testimony to encourage us, so please do that. I would encourage you also, as we've been working through the book, we've been memorizing certain verses. And this being a new month, the month of April, we have a new memory verse for today, and it's Acts 4:31, and it's actually the theme verse for our church this year, as we're praying for a bold witness. That is the theme. And at the start of the year, we surely didn't know that we would be going through these stay-at-home orders and self-quarantining. But there's still an opportunity, folks, for us to be a bold witness. And that's what this verse talks about. And this is our theme for the year. But it's also our memory verse for the month. So let's repeat it together. Acts chapter 4, verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. So that's our memory verse for the month. It's also our theme verse for the year. So take your Bibles with me now as we get back into the book of Acts, and look with me at Acts chapter 6. Today we're going to be in verses 8 through 15. Acts chapter 6, verse 8 through 15. And just a little bit of backstory, a little bit of review to get us caught up to where we are today. Last week, you will remember that there was a problem in the church. Chapter 6, verse 1. And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. So we saw that there was a problem in the church. And because the church is growing, the apostles couldn't do everything, and people were being overlooked in the daily ministration. And because of the leadership of the apostles, the church solved the problem by choosing seven deacons. And we saw that these were men who were filled with the Holy Spirit and wisdom. Look at verse 3. Wherefore, brethren, look out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. So they had to be honest, they had to be filled with the Spirit and wisdom. And we saw that because of this, because of the leadership of the apostles, because of the unity of the church in this, because of the choosing of the correct seven men, the church grew. And the church grew in two ways. It grew qualitatively and quantitatively. Look at verse 7. And the word of God increased, okay? And the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. Today, we are introduced to one of these deacons named Stephen, a man who we're told was full of faith and power. Sadly, we don't know a whole lot about Stephen, just what we learn about him here in chapters 6 and 7. But we know that he was a man that was full of faith and full of power. Of course, we know as time will go on, and we'll see it in a few weeks, we'll see that he was the first martyr of the church. But here was one of the deacons that was chosen. And as always, also attached to this email are the notes for this hour. And so if you want to follow along in them, and there's blanks to fill in, and notice the first point today from verse 8, the witness of Stephen. The witness of Stephen. Verse 8. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. The witness of Stephen. He was full of faith. He was a man that was filled with faith. And friends, it is true that we are saved by grace through faith, but we must also live the Christian life by that same grace and by that same faith. Faith is such an important part of our life. Faith is believing God, believing in His Word. And yes, we place our faith and trust in Christ when we are saved, but we continue to need faith. Turn with me, please, to Hebrews chapter 11, that wonderful chapter. And in chapter 11, verses 1 to 3, we read these words. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Please skip down to verse 6. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So friends, we need to daily exercise faith in our Christian life so that we can please God. And Stephen was a man who was full of faith. But it also says in verse 8 that he was a man full of power. Notice he was filled with power because of, or as a result of, him being filled with the Spirit. So being filled with the Spirit brings us power. And this word here for power is the Greek word dunamos. So it's mighty power. Now, we also have to understand that the great wonders and miracles that he did, it's not available for us today. Remember, the book of Acts is a transitional book. It's a transitional time in church history as we transition from the Old Testament to the New Testament, from the time of Israel to the time of the church, from the dispensation of law to the dispensation of grace. And because the Word of God was not yet completed, many of the all of the apostles and some of the people, Stephen and Philip being two, were able to do great wonders and miracles. He was a mighty man of God, filled with faith and power. And notice the second point in our text, verses 9 through 14, we're going to look at the war against Stephen. Stephen here was involved in spiritual warfare. For him, a very serious spiritual warfare. But we must understand today, friends, that every time we go out into the world and we share the gospel with people, and we share the gospel with people who of course do not know the Lord, we're engaged in a war. We're in the enemy's territory, and we're fighting a battle. And Stephen was engaged in this war. And in this war, we learn about people, verses 9 and 10, from the synagogue of the libertines. Look at verses 9 and 10 with me. Then there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the libertines, and Cyrenians and Alexandrians, and of them of Cilicia and of Asia, disputing with Stephen. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. This group was a synagogue for those Jews who had been dispersed outside of Israel and now gathered in Jerusalem to worship. You will notice the countries mentioned. These are all outside of Israel. Their apologists were unable to argue or debate against Stephen. And that's what the word disputing there means, to argue or debate. They were unable to debate against Stephen's knowledge of the Old Testament, which pointed the way to their Messiah. Stephen was debating with them, and as we'll see here, not so much today, but we'll see in the weeks ahead, we'll see his clearly using the Old Testament to point to the Lord Jesus. If you tuned in for this morning's message, The Righteous Servant, if you tuned in last week for the message from Isaiah 53 also, the suffering servant, you'll know that the gospel is clearly presented in the Old Testament. Passages like Psalm 22 and passages like Isaiah 52, the end of the chapter there through 53. We see the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ for our sins. And Stephen was sharing this and debating this and arguing this with these folks from this synagogue. And they were unable to dispute against him. And friends, can I say that this shows us the necessity of discipleship and Bible study and even Bible training? Not that you have to go off to Bible school, but all of us need to be disciples. I am sure that Stephen did not go off to the Bible Institute of Jerusalem, but he knew his Bible. And he was a student of the Word. And that's what you and I need to be, students of the Word. We meet people every day who need to hear the Word of God. And may Stephen's life be a challenge to us to be students of the Word, that we could dispute and debate with them things concerning the Lord and his Word. Everyone who stands to speak the truth in God's power will face spiritual opposition. Turn with me to a familiar passage of Scripture in the book of Ephesians chapter 6, leading up to the description of the armor of God. Paul says this starting in verse 10, Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. So it's very important for us to realize that we are in a spiritual battle. And remember, folks, Stephen here was engaged in spiritual warfare. But we're also told in the passage that they hired informants against Stephen. Look at verse 11, please. Then they suborned men, which said, "We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God." And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes and came upon him and caught him and brought him to the council and set up false witnesses, which said, "This man ceases not to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the customs which Moses delivered us." They hired informants. Suborned means to introduce by stealth, to bring in secretly. Think of kind of like a secret agent, if you will. But these men were brought in as perjury, false witnesses. Maybe they were bribed, but they were brought in, and here these men were hired against Stephen, and they accused him of blasphemy. They lied about Stephen's word. They couldn't argue the truth he taught. So they had to lie. Again, let me repeat that. They couldn't argue the truth that he taught, so they had to lie. And sometimes that will happen to us. People will lie about us, but continue to speak the truth. The truth is what people need to hear. The truth is what Stephen preached. And these folks came and they lied about him. They bore false witness. Isn't it interesting that the Sanhedrin that he is on trial in front of, the very Bible that they believe, the Old Testament, and in particular the Book of the Law, talks about not bearing false witness. But yet, they hired men to bear false witness against Stephen. Friends, they were afraid, I believe. I believe that most of the anger and the persecution shown against not only the Lord Jesus, but shown against the apostles in the early days of the church and the church, and now Stephen, the persecution was done because of fear. They feared that they were losing their grip of the people. They feared that they were losing their influence. They feared that their traditions, their way of life would be gone. Remember this as you share the gospel with people. Many times they are motivated by fear, and they might say things because of that fear. They lied about Stephen's word. It says they stirred up the people. This shows how fierce they were. They came and they took him by force. The word "stirred up" here, that phrase means to excite the people. It means that they alarmed their fears. You know, we see a lot of that going on today, especially today with the COVID-19 virus. And people are fearful. And a lot of people are playing on those fears. And a lot of people are stirring up those fears. That's the word here, what that word "stirred up" means. It stirs up a fear that they already have. And the Sanhedrin and the Pharisees and the Sadducees were already afraid of the early church. So these men stirred that fear up. This is similar to what happened at Jesus' trial. Turn back to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27 and verse 20 says, "But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus." The chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude. And of course we know, we read in other gospel accounts, they just kept getting the people to chant his name louder and louder. Barabbas, Barabbas, Barabbas. And Pilate says, "What do I do with Jesus? Crucify him, crucify him." They're stirring the crowd up. And this is very similar to what is happening to Stephen in the book of Acts. They took him by force to the council and they set up more false witnesses. Again, folks, we know the truth is that Stephen is fighting a spiritual battle. We read about that in Ephesians 6. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. And yes, there were people standing in front of him. And yes, there were people who grabbed him and brought him to the council. But it was really the devil and his demons behind all of this, trying to stop the spread of the church. In the midst of all this, though, point number three, there is the wonder of Stephen. The wonder of Stephen. Look with me at verse 15. "And all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel." Isn't that interesting? Isn't that something to think about? There doesn't seem to be any fear. He had great grace under pressure. Turn back just a couple of chapters to Acts chapter 4 and look at verse 33. Acts 4:33, the Bible says, "And when great and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all." Great grace was upon them all. God's unmerited favor greatly poured out upon them. And Stephen had grace under pressure. Stephen had grace under fire. Friends, there's a lot of pressure on us today. Pressure that's being put on us by outside forces. Remember to act graciously. He had great faith under pressure. Stephen's faith here is being put to the test. And he was soon about to test that belief. And he had great, great faith under pressure. And he had great peace under pressure. It said that he had a face of an angel. I've never seen an angel. But, you know, obviously his face shone like it was angelic. Kind of reminds me of Moses when he's in the mount. And his face has to be covered when he came down because his face was shining. And the people couldn't bear that. But these are his accusers who are saying he had the face of an angel. So obviously, their plan, their plot is not working. They did not see hate or fear in his face. They saw heaven. What do you do? Let me ask a few questions here. What do you do when you are under pressure? How do you respond when you are under pressure? How do you look when you're under pressure? Stephen's under great pressure, greater pressure than I think any of us have ever been under. And during this pressure, he had the face of an angel. So, friends, we are not done with the story of Stephen. We will hear more about him in the weeks ahead. But here, remember I said at the start of this, not everything in the book of Acts we can repeat today from moving from first century to 21st century. Not everything we can repeat. But here are qualities and here are character traits that we can duplicate today. And we need people today in the 21st century who have great grace under pressure, who have great faith under pressure, and who have great peace under pressure. We need Christians today who are full of faith, who don't buckle under pressure. Christians who will witness whatever the cost. Christians who have a sweet spirit. There's a song that I like to listen to periodically, and it's called Militant but Magnificent for the Lord. We need to be militant with our doctrine. We need to defend that doctrine, but we need to be magnificent for the Lord. We have to have a sweet spirit. We have to go out there and show people that we really, really do care. We do have compassion. And Stephen was a man who definitely was militant, but magnificent for the Lord. So friends, may I challenge you in these difficult days to pray for an increase in faith. Isn't it the disciples who said, Lord, increase our faith? And wasn't there a man, maybe your faith is small, wasn't there a man who also, Jesus was saying he was healing his daughter, and he said, do you believe that? And he said, Lord, I believe. And then right on the heels of that, he said, help my unbelief. And we need to pray those same prayers. Maybe you're struggling in these days with your faith. Ask the Lord to increase it. Read his word. Spend time in his word. And spend time in prayer and ask him to help you. And let's all be praying for a bold witness. As I sign off, friends, I just want to say how much I love you, how much I miss you, and I'm praying for you. And please be aware that if you need anything, please call me, and it will be good to hear your voice. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this time in your word. Thank you for Stephen. Thank you for his life. Thank you for the great grace and faith and strength that he showed even under such great pressure. Lord, make us like Stephen. Give us more men like that. And help us to be the type of Christian that would bring honor and glory to you as we minister in these difficult days. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.